Okay, I would like to call to order the town council meeting of April 9th and invite you all to say the Pledge of Allegiance with me.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, everybody's microphones are on. Laurel, you check that?
Yes.
Okay.
I tried.
Councilmember Ballet is sick this evening, and I would ask that you excuse her if you find that appropriate.
I'll move to excuse Councilmember Ballet this evening.
I second it.
Moved and seconded to excuse Councilmember Ballet from this evening's meeting. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. I do not have any changes or additions to the agenda. Do any council members? Okay, take a motion to approve the agenda as submitted.
Move approval of the agenda as submitted.
Second. Moved and seconded to approve the agenda. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Passes unanimously. Thank you.
Who moved first? Okay.
Mike moved. Oh, sorry. Sorry, Laurel. We're moving fast. Has everybody had a chance to review the minutes of our March 26th council meeting?
Yes.
Are there any changes or corrections to those minutes?
Well, there's a spelling a spelling problem about three lines down under changes and approvals of the agenda, the presentation there. Other than that.
Right. Oh, okay, great. The word it's giant, it's capitalized.
Yeah, it jumped right out.
Do you get that, Laurel?
Yes.
Okay.
Other than that, I move approval of the minutes.
Okay. Moved and seconded to approve the agenda as corrected. All those in favor say aye.
You moved. I seconded.
The minutes?
Who seconded?
Agenda.
I did.
You did?
Did we vote?
Did we vote?
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you.
Could be a large audience.
Yeah. Okay, Mayor's Report. Boy, you guys, there is a lot going on. The first thing I will say is that Kelly Beach and Claudia Golden are in training this week over in Lake Chelan at their annual financial training that's put on by the state, I believe, where they, Kelly always really learns a lot and appreciates it, and she was excited to take Claudia this year so Claudia can start learning some of the annual reporting. And it's where they are updated on any, you know, tiny little changes to state law and auditor's changes. So they were out of the office today, and they get back sometime on Friday, depending on when they get back. I don't know if they're going to be coming into the office or not. So we are lucky to have Laurel with us. She is both filling in at a desk to help Amanda this Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and got to sign the minutes this evening. So we appreciate her being here.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, we attended, you know, it's really great to have someone like Laurel as a backup because, like, she doesn't just fill a desk. She's processing accounts payable and knows how to process utility bills and input invoices. And, you know, she actually gets work done for us while she's here because she knows what she's been here before.
She did all my dog licenses.
Did she?
Yes.
Nice, nice. She runs a mean rec call, too. Okay, I attended. Captain Arnie is continuing with Captain Moore's quarterly leadership meetings. These are meetings held on the base about once a quarter. This is Captain Arnie's first one. And the mayors and port commissioners and school district superintendents, they're always really well attended. The mayors from Port Townsend, Anacortes, LeConder, Mount Vernon, Burlington come to this meeting. And it's just a quarterly update about what's going on at the base. So I'm lucky to have a personal meeting with Captain Arnie once a month. So most of the information is familiar to me, but it's really good information for the region. So he updated the group on a lot of their environmental remediation projects, and they have a lot of them going on. You know, Lake Hancock cleanup, our PFAS issue, Alt Field's PFAS issue. Alt Field has other issues with from an old landfill up there, and so they are constantly doing a lot of environmental mediation work. He talked about their upcoming construction projects. Two of them are interesting to our island. One of the projects is they are building, they tore down a historic, hangar number one. They took down the first hangar that was ever built at Alt Field, and they're replacing it with a new, bigger hangar specifically for the growlers. And then they are also taking one of their very large housing units that are, they're basically apartments, so it's strictly for single sailors. And the building hasn't had any remodel for decades. It's very old, big portions of it are unusable, so they're only using a few of the apartments, and they're remodeling that building. So it's going to provide housing for, I think he said 400, I don't know if I've got that number right, a very large number of single sailors. And so that could possibly free up some inventory in Oak Harbor of other apartments that are being used right now by sailors. They have no other plans to build housing for families right now, but that will make it, what they're doing with this apartment building will make a big difference. Captain Moore started a new housing study for the Navy before he left, because he felt like the housing information in the EIS was based on really old information, so he started a new study, and that study will come out this summer. And for almost everybody in the room was familiar with the record of decision that had just come out, but he talked about that, and he went into quite a bit of detail about our new water plant. So it was a good meeting. He's pretty transparent, a lot of speaking off of the PowerPoint, and it was an interesting meeting. Okay, so there's a ton going on with the water treatment plant, but that's why Joe is here tonight, so I won't say anything about that. Lots of other projects going on. The big news is the beginning of the Community Green Project. So the last week in March, Kelly, Rima, and I, and Stig had a meeting with the key players from Valdez before the project started, and we, you know, talked about the project administration, change order, safety briefing, all that stuff you need to do to get ready for the project to begin, which it did on April 1st. Permits that week, the permits were delivered, the fencing got put up, equipment was brought on site, trees came down, construction access went in, and they ended up doing a lot of scraping of the existing parking lot. They did a lot of soil samples, and the soil is not exactly what they thought that it was, and so there was a lot of testing. David O was involved in that and helped out a lot, and it's, the results are coming back that it's not, all of it's not going to be able to be used for base material as they thought. So, you know, it's kind of, they're judging that right now and seeing what they can do, just because the end result is they'll have to buy additional fill material than what was in their original quote, but Stig tells me that's why we have a contingency, so I'm paying very close attention to that. You know, the week before they got on site, Kelly Rietma's crew, this whole thing, you know, we were on hold for like a month, and then it just happened really quick. So Kelly Rietma's crew had to kind of stop what they were doing, working on the remodel and other projects that they had. And the week before they started, Kelly put in a new water line that went from Alexander to the barn. They removed all the concrete curb stops from the parking lot. They moved the farmer's market shed. That was exciting, on the forklift, with the entire farmer's market board supervising. That got done safely. And so she you know, put up ropes for the temporary green parking. We're still making improvements on that. So, but she got everything done she needed that the town was responsible for, so we were off and running. So what I have done, just in case you're getting questions about this project, because I'm really surprised at the number of questions I'm getting, because I feel like I've just done nothing but talk about this project for months. So I just want you guys to know what everything that was done. The week before we sent out, you know, you probably all got it, a special letter in the to 1,100 water customers. Then I sent a personal letter to the 45 homeowners around the green. Then I personally called the four homeowners that touched the green. So I talked to them. They were all very supportive and excited, so that's always good news. I've continued to meet a lot the last couple weeks with the library staff because they seem to be the ones that are getting questions. So regrouped with them again and also met a couple times with Peg Tennant to get her ready for her first market in the new location. And so I'm just, you know, and then I dropped the ball on having signage ready for the temporary parking area. And so we got, worked with Oak Harbor Signs, and they really quickly got us some temporary signs made. I got a request from a business owner this morning that it's not enough signs. You know, at what point did you say you got so many signs that you can't see the forest through the trees, but I may order a couple more signs. And then I have asked Stig to have four copies of the landscape site plan blueprint size made up and laminated for us. And I'm going to take, and okay, so another issue we're having is people seem to get what to do when they park in the green for Saturday market. And I'm kind of figuring out that that's because there's a lot of vendors that are already there that have modeled parking rows. That's a step we're missing right now. And so people are like driving into the green and school buses are parking on the road, on the exit road. I mean, it's like people don't, it seems to be confusing. So I'm asking the library employees, Leslie is encouraging them to park in the green, so I'm going to ask them to model the first three rows of parking, you know, like to start the rows off. We put exit signs up to kind of like help people see, oh yeah, this is how you get out of here. Don't park here. I may have Kelly put up a few more rope areas to like kind of try to designate aisleways. And when I get these blueprints, I'm going to put one in the library. I'm going to give one to Leslie for the library. Linda wants one for the chamber office. I'm going to give one to Peg for the farmer's market because she usually has like an information booth set up. And I'm going to have one for town hall, and we're just going to take like a Sharpie and start to write out, you know, show, here's a good way to park in the green. So we're going to put that kind of information around. And then even with all of that, construction started and people were just like, what's going on? So I called the newspaper and Laura very quickly came out and wrote an article for us. I don't know what else to do.
It always happens. People all just like, surprise. I mean, I even was driving by and went, what's going on over there? I didn't ask. But then it was like, because it was so starkly different.
And it happened so quickly.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
There was no buildup, man. The first day they were there, they were taking out trees. Yeah. So it was pretty dramatic. But it's going well. Another thing we did in the last couple weeks is Kelly Rima and I met with Pat Powell and her wonderful employee, Jessica. And we just kind of regrouped about that decommissioning of the water reservoir project. Were you there, Jeff?
I was not.
Okay. I still want to leave you out if you were. That's a project that we talked about last year. It's going to involve a land swap. Mike and Rick. Oh, Rick knows about it from the UAC meetings. So we have the town out of the town limits owns this old, very giant water reservoir that we're not using. It hasn't been used forever. And it needs to be decommissioned. Department of Health wants us to decommission it. It's very expensive to decommission it. It happens to be this kind of nice flat piece of property right next to a trail that Wood Becoming a Land Trust is building in part of their walking Eby's train that they're setting up. And so we need to decommission it. Wood Becoming a Land Trust wants it as a trailhead. for just a few park, for just a few cars, like maybe up to 10 cars. And so we're working, we budgeted money, they budgeted money, and we're working together to hopefully get that done this year. And so Kelly and her crew had gone out, and we've got a lot of old lines and pipes and electrical boxes and a lot of stuff underground there that we didn't really know exactly what was there because it hasn't been used for so long. So Kelly and her group went out there and dug it all up. Some of it's 9 feet deep, and just investigated what was happening out there. And so then she felt like she had a good handle on that. And so we had this meeting and discussed what the town needs to do to decommission the utilities that are in the ground. And really nice split of responsibilities. Actually, we'd be coming to Land Trust has taken the majority of it. So Jessica's working on permits. Kelly's going to work to probably contract to get our utility part decommissioned. Jessica's working on getting information about deconstruction and regrading and turning it into parking lot. So it's going to be a really nice project. And then the land swap is going to be that Libby Camino Land Trust gets that land, and the town takes the piece, the little lot of forest right on Broadway that's the entrance to town limits. And so, you know, then there's, we got legal paperwork to do and appraisals to do and to make it, tie it all up neat and tidy. So it has many, many steps, but I'm happy with how we're moving and really happy with the division of labor since you, well, since you guys have done this before, you know, you've done...
We've never decommissioned a water
thing. No, but you've done the land swap part and the easement part and that kind of thing, yeah.
And I think the important thing is the town has needed to decommission it mm-hmm. forever, mm-hmm. and it can't be used, mm-hmm. so saving the town money.
It does save the town money, and it uses the land for, you know...
Public good.
Public good, yeah. Win-win.
And I think it was funny that Kelly found out how many things were wrong. For example, they hadn't decommissioned anything. They had merely turned off the
valves,
including the fire hydrant out there.
Oh, yes. Surprise.
Yes. And there's like this big giant vault that still has all of PSE's yep. electrical wiring going to it. Now it's turned off.
Turned off.
Well, is it turned off, or we just don't have anything hooked up to it anymore? I think the point is it's turned on, but we don't have any pumps or anything hooked up to it anymore, so we have to contact PSE and get that part done. It's just, you know, like every project that you think seems pretty simple and straightforward, there's a lot of steps to it. Yeah. So anyway, but it's moving forward.
I was wanting to elaborate a little on that. Everybody's calling it old, but the reservoir is actually the original reservoir for the fort, so it was built by the Corps many years ago.
But it is old.
So it's very old.
It's very old.
It's historically old, but we've already...
Ancient.
But it was deemed unusable by the Department of Health 15, 20 years ago. Mm-hmm.
The good news is it's empty.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. But no dead bodies or anything.
We don't
not
know.
We know. Not that we know. Okay, so just a quick little report that spring cleanup. I don't know if any of you guys took advantage of that, but it went really well. Well, Rick worked at it all day. Thank you, Rick. Great partnership between WasteWise and the Coopville Lions. WasteWise has needed the last couple years some additional help with volunteers, and Rick stepped up and said, that sounds like a good job for the Coopville Lions. And so he personally recruited 6 Lions to help him for the day, and there was probably about 6 WasteWise volunteers there.
At least.
Yeah. So it was seemed to be enough people. You guys were all busy all day long. So it was beautiful weather that day. Beautiful weather. So we completely filled to the tippy top 3 the biggest dumpsters you can get. They were filled absolutely to the top, 3 with garbage, 1 filled all the way to the top with recyclable metal, and then, I don't know if you guys were there at the end of the day, but a mountain of yard waste, just a mountain. And so the WasteWise organizer, Sarah Berquist, said that, you know, gee, if the town could afford it, this is the second or third year in a row that the last few people that come that are screaming in there right before it closes at 1 o'clock, she's actually, I mean, the dumpsters were so full, she was actually having to give them purple tickets, special tickets. She's got this deal worked out with Island Disposal and say, we absolutely can't take your stuff, but if you take this ticket out to the dump, they'll let you dump for free. And so that has happened the last 2 years. So we will probably maybe talk about getting another dumpster next year. But the advertisement worked on that, boy. Everybody knew about that.
Everybody was there lined up way before now.
Mm-hmm. Up the street.
It's a nice service.
Mm-hmm. It is. It's good for the town. Mm-hmm. Good for the town. Gets us looking spiffy. So normally when we do that, Kelly's crew has, you know, they can take their time chipping up the yard waste and getting that mess cleaned up. But they were there at 7 o'clock with the chipper and the dump truck and all their trucks, and the whole staff was there trying to get through that pile, which they did in one day, to get out of the way, because it's the same day Valdez moved in. But we had arranged that with them in advance, and so they got that all cleaned up. So another great spring cleanup. I've had several conference calls with Brett Vincent, who is an attorney from Grant's office, who has been assigned the job of helping the town with the Navy easements that we need for the extension of water lines, and with Epic, the company we have hired to help us, and that we're just going full steam ahead. Last week, I sent out a letter, 2 weeks ago, I sent out a letter from the town, from myself, to the property owners involved that we need to get easements from. There's about, what are we up to now, 12 or 13 parcels, explaining, okay, now the town's stepping in, we're going to be the ones getting the easements with you, this is why, it needs to be us and not the Navy. We've hired this company to help us. The man that's been assigned to our community is Barry Sullivan. I'm sure you'll find him really easy to work with, and he's very good at his job, and he will be writing you and contacting you. So it was like to kind of introduce Epic and to explain why the town that hasn't been involved in any of the discussions with those property owners yet was now taking over the easement part. Encourage people to call me if they have any questions. I haven't had a single call, because they kind of knew this was coming, because the Navy's been having these discussions with them. So our letter went out last week. Epic is sending out their letter tomorrow, and that will again be a little bit more detailed information on what a utility easement it is and why it's needed. Grant's office with Brett has already written up, I think, has prepared easement packages for 8 of the packages, because we had everything we needed. We had appraisals, legal descriptions. I think I might have gotten, I got the last 3 legal descriptions today to pass on to Brett's office. I think I'm missing 3 appraisals, but we're really close to, and they're not going to wait. They're just going to go ahead and start contacting the people that they have all the information for. So that's moving forward really quickly. But, you know, now we start the negotiation. So that's the part that may or may not go quickly. Kelly, now this is a Kelly report today. Kelly, Reetma, and Jeff Tassa from Davido. And we met about the FEMA grant. Were you at that meeting?
No, I wasn't.
I'm so confused. I've got so many meetings. I can't remember who was there. Probably not. Because that was so we met with them to kind of regroup on the FEMA grant. You remember our $1 million grant to replace that big water line? We got the grant money, but we've been so wrapped up with these other 2 big projects in town that we really haven't done anything with that project yet. And it needs, you know, Owen to do SEPA, it needs a survey, it needs a cultural resource study before we can move forward on any of that. So those are all things that take time, and we have to contract out for that stuff. And so Jeff kind of said, we need to get going on this. And so he kind of wrangled us all in, and we had a good meeting of what gave the, oh, and he brought in a new engineer that we'd never worked with before, Carly. Her name is Carly. And she's kind of going to be the one assigned to this particular FEMA project, this waterline project from David O. And so we kind of just gave her all the information, gave her contact information from FEMA and from DAP, went through, kind of made a to-do list of what needs to happen in what order. And so we're kind of starting to move forward on that project. That is, again, even though the construction of the water line is going to be pretty straight and pretty seems simple, that's, you know, there's critical areas, there's Fort Casey, there's SPU, there's Washington State Ferries, there's Island County, there's WASDOT. I mean, that to run this one little straight shot of water line is going to be a lot of cooperation and coordination. So we're starting that process. That's the end of my report. It's a long report. My last two have been short. I had a lot of stuff happening for the last 2 or 3 weeks. Anybody have any questions about that? Okay, audience input. Hello, no audience input. Okay, great. So we are to the interesting part of the meeting tonight, a little show and tell from our utility superintendent, Joe Grogan. He's going to bring you guys up to speed on what's going on out there. There's a lot going on.
Really don't need to stand at the podium, do I? So I handed out a schedule of estimated completion dates, and I actually backdated a little while because I had done a presentation to you. So it starts the 8th of February, we received the 90% design of the building. And so it's really hard to see.
Can you turn the whole
room on?
Is that too dark, Joe?
No, not for me.
Okay.
I understand these are hard to see, and if you want a better copy, I can provide those to you. But this is the design that we started with at the first of the year. It has enough room for 2 filter trains here, and hyperpneumatic tanks here, and a couple of distribution pumps. This area here is our current water treatment plant, and it has an iron manganese train across here, and our transfer and booster pumps here. So from January to February, I kind of got my way a little bit. So. Instead of designing a plant, a building that has a removable wall for expansion, they gave me enough space for 3 filter trains and enough room for iron and manganese filters across this area. And doing that, we were planning on putting an extra iron manganese train here. We instead put all of the pumps in one area. So instead of utilizing our existing pumps, all these pumps will be replaced now. So we have 5 transfer pumps and 2 booster pumps that will be installed here. Another nice feature of the newer plan is now the electrical room is a sealed room, and all the electrical components, variable frequency drives, everything will be in a climate controlled room, dust free room, so it should last a little longer. Another big improvement is instead of having all the piping running through the building, it's now all underground pipe, and it comes back in the building, approximately here, back side of the electrical room, and it's all out of the way against the wall. So
show on the first plan, Joe, where the, all that big piping went through the walkway.
So this is a small breezeway. It's only 7 foot tall, and they had the entire thing filled with piping coming between these two buildings. So there was absolutely no egress getting through without crawling over. Well, the way how they had it designed is going out this door and back in this door.
So you could have two operators there that couldn't even talk to each other from one building to the next.
Correct. So yeah. If somebody was working on a pump in this building, you would have to went around and shut or control it off this wall over here. So wow. much better.
You get a lunchroom?
Kinda.
Tell them what you've won.
So the electrical room had a 10-foot ceiling. These tanks are almost 20 feet tall.
Wow.
So the space above the electrical room, I was able to insist on a office area with a lab upstairs. So we added a stairway to get up there. Yeah, that was a big win for myself.
Mm-hmm.
So get into day one. That happened the 20th of February. They mobilized. They brought in a bunch of equipment. As you can see, they showed up in force. let's see. Right away, they set up the site, so silt fencing, they snow fenced everything that was I wanted to maintain, so any brush that I wanted to maintain for screening, they put safety around it so it wouldn't be disturbed, put the rock down so we wouldn't track any dirt out to the county road. All that went in very quickly. Started by clearing the area. The clearing and grubbing, again, that went very smoothly. By this time, I was telling the mayor how tickled I was of working with these guys.
He used that word every day, tickled. I'm so tickled.
Then we started breaking ground. So the earthwork started to change my tickled thing. So. The archaeologists were on site for every scoop of dirt, and it was literally 1 inch at a time.
Oh.
And they screened it. We found some non-significant findings, beer bottles of the era from when the original water treatment plant was put in, and very little else other than art era.
They did the whole area that was going to be disturbed?
They did. There was archaeologists on site for every scoop.
Wow.
We had multiple archaeologists if we had multiple digs going at the same time. So it went painstakingly slow. But in the end, foundation was dug out and they did a wonderful job, you know, grubbing the area and cleaning it all up. And this is almost getting to where we're at now. So they're doing trench backfill. These lines here are existing power cables going out to the well field. This is a communication line going to the well field. So it was already pretty busy in the area. Then they started making it really busy in the area. So these conduits here are going to the new auto start generator. So we'll have an auto start generator on site now.
Is that good?
That is good. That is another nice, very nice thing for the town to get emergency backup power that runs the entire plant.
Oh, okay. It's sized to run the whole plant.
Wow.
This drain line here, believe it or not, is for stormwater, and it will encompass the entire building. There'll be a foundation drain all the way around, and everything will be piped out to a new infiltration gallery and drain field. All this black iron here, believe it or not, it is electrical conduit going into the electrical room, and there's a lot of it. These other ditches here are drains for equipment, and there'll be another drain going down the center of the building, so everything that's spilt on the floor will go into the drain, and it will drain into a vault here, and it will be monitored from the PLC. So currently we'll have to pump that out, but I don't anticipate much getting spilt in there. This, that you can see in the back, that's actually the plywood for the footing. So that's the back corner of the building over there. This is the first tie-in process piping. So that's the size of valves that are going in. This particular one is the finished water. So water will be coming out of our iron and manganese through this one to the GAC filters, out of the GAC filters, through this valve, and then into this tank. So that's all getting in this area here. Everything's exterior buried. Nice clean installation. So this is the infiltration new drain filled area that will catch all the storm water. So we're actually following our storm water infiltration requirements. And the benefit of it is Joe's new garden. If anybody wants a peat plot, I can set you up. And that's where we're at so far today. If you follow back down on the schedule of estimated completion dates. Well, I guess I do have just an idea of the size of the building. So this is the corner of the roof of the existing treatment plant building. The walkway between. And you can see the difference of size. This door is actually 18 feet tall.
And how do we get those 20-foot tall tanks in there?
Right.
So what's that roof line compared to the pole barn building out there? Is it a little bit taller?
It's approximately the same grade. This building will be lower in elevation on the footing. Roof line will be very similar.
Okay. So we do have, you know, another big pole barn out there, so it's massing-wise, it will be kind of consistent.
So as I've stated before, we're really on an expedited building. Estimated completion date. The concrete slab on the north half of the building, that's going to be a huge date to hit, and that'll be 19 April. The reason why we have to pour on 19 April is the GAC vessels are showing up at exactly the cure time for the concrete to cure enough to set the vessels on. So they're really pushing to get all of the rebar laid, all the inspections done, and to have the first half of the building poured by the 19th. And like I said, the vessels arrive on the 22nd. we still have the, on the south half, in order to meet schedule, finished all the buried underground utilities in the building area, get all of the rebar tied in that south end, and then pour the concrete on the 26th of April for the second half.
So when you say carbon vessel, what is that?
That's the actual filters.
Okay.
So the filters are already completed. They've been inspected. They were built by a company named TIG. And they will come in three parts per filter set. So there'll be two tanks on semis, and then the valves and the, it'll be pretty much a valve skid that connects the, everything together will come on the truck also, so.
Are they coming on the, how did they get on the island?
That I don't know.
Okay.
That's a good question. I'm assuming they're coming across the bridge. They're not really that heavy, they're just very large.
Okay. Because they're empty right now.
Correct.
Yeah.
So that will lead me to the next, is the filling of the carbon, and that's May 8th. So that's our goal, is to get the carbon in the vessels and have the process piping connected right in that same time frame as far as the, to use the existing equipment that we have to be able to filter at approximately 200 gallons a minute. That's what our plant can do right now. So when you start looking out past the May dates, this is for all new pumps with capability of going to 750 gallons a minute. So the process piping and the electrical and the startup and commissioning, that will all happen after we can actually treat the water. So we'll be treating using our existing equipment and then slowly replacing the pumps and commissioning the different equipment.
And the Navy has worked well with you over that process so that our plant isn't down for any great lengths of time?
Exactly. So it's definitely going to be a dance on how to transition from old equipment to new equipment while keeping everything operational, at least one pump operational at all times. So I have a few things that I have to accomplish before we can do that, and that's the sample analysis plan has to be approved by Department of Health, and all that should go smoothly. It just takes some time.
So a lot, explain, is this right, a lot of the actual building is going to be completed around the tanks after they've already been installed?
Correct.
So I would say the majority. The whole facility doesn't have to be done in order for us to start using the filter system?
Correct.
Is somebody out there, like, on site when that happened?
Yes.
So there's a person there?
What do you mean, staying on site?
Oh, no, it's surrounded by a fence, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Correct.
Never mind.
And there will be somebody there.
Okay.
Joe's spending almost all of his time at the construction site. They're working, are they still working 4/10s, or are they up to 5 days now?
This week they'll be back at 4/10s, next week they'll be at 6/10s.
Wow. And is this a contractor?
Yes.
And they're doing everything, or is they're subbing it out? Or?
It's being subbed out through two different contractors. So Aptum is our general, and Tech is one of our building contractors, and yeah, the electrical is, everything's contracted out to smaller
sizes. I'm just amazed at how quickly it's going with.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty unbelievable.
So Joe, does telemetry and that go in at the, towards the very end of it, or how does
it? It will be. It'll be after, I will say it was during the commissioning of the equipment, and then telemetry will follow right suit with that.
you know, Joe has been, Joe was really happy with the final design of what they on paper said they were going to do. But as you know, you probably know that actual, when it actually comes down to construction, it doesn't always go that way. So Joe being out on site constantly has really benefited the town many different times. What change order number are you up to?
I think we just surpassed 40. And
so so he's out there seeing every little detail that, oh, this, now wait a minute, now that this is going in the ground, this isn't exactly right, or can we switch this, can we nudge this, and they're very, they all love working with Joe, and they're really have high regard for him, and so they are very cooperative and take anything he says very seriously. So he's getting one done out there on site.
How are your staff folks doing without you?
They're doing well. Yeah, we have our issues.
Yeah.
Trying to keep all the plants running.
Yeah. Wow. Well, thank you.
Yes. But they're getting stuff done. I mean, too, they're working. They've finished up the, what do you call, the reusable water system out there?
Correct. So
at the sewer treatment plant.
So the sewer treatment plant had a water reuse pump that failed many years ago, and then all the hydrants in the yard also failed. So they've been bringing all that back online. We have a couple pilot projects going on to try to keep some odor control down. We're installing a new headwork screen, so they're slowly pouring pads and, you know, trying to get everything set for that. Plus, I'm pulling them to the site because if there's an open ditch, and it's a good time to put some extra conduit in it for future use. So today they put in another 300 feet of conduit for a communication line.
Wow. Your staff did?
They did.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty incredible.
Well,
thank you.
Thank you, Joe.
I mean, words fail me.
It is going to be, it's going to just be an amazing water treatment plant for a town our size.
Yes.
And what Joe, probably the best thing he has done, he's been successful at, was that when he started out with their beginning picture and their ending picture, and they were very focused on keeping everything to treating PFAS and PFOA at the levels that we were at today, and
not looking at
the future. We would have outgrown that as soon as they left the site, because we, as you know, we already have plans that we need to have another well really soon. So, and we already have plans to increase our capacity to treat. So he's done a really good job of getting them to, you know, like, let's just get this done right the first time, and let's quit talking about knocking down walls that you just put up a year ago and starting all over again. Let's just get it done right the first time. With room to grow and be forward thinking about it. And he's been really successful at that. It's awesome.
Yay.
Thank you, Joe.
Yeah.
Is there a Navy person out there?
The Navy is monitoring. They come on site about once a week.
Okay.
So there's a lot of meetings that go on out there. There's 7 a.m., 10 a.m., and a 3:30.
Wow.
Everybody's in the loop.
Yeah. All right, great. Thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you, Joe.
Thank you, Joe.
Thanks, Joe.
Okay, and Joe, I know you've already had a long day. You're totally free to go home if you would like. Thank you for coming back into this tonight.
Oh.
We've been looking forward to it. Okay. Okay, so we've only got two action items on our agenda. The first one is an archaeology contract with ASM, and I believe I told you this was done very quickly. I sent out what we needed to have an archaeologist available to us for probably one day's worth of work while the bioswale in the community green is being dug.
What is a bioswale?
Rain garden.
Oh, okay.
150-foot-long rain garden. So, and that's going to be at the north side of the community green, up against the chain link fence that separates our property from the post office. And so we had a request from the Still of Wamish that they felt that that area was a potential sensitive area. And so even though we had already been cleared by DAP to go ahead with our project, we are honoring that request. And so I quickly sent out a proposal to three archaeologist firms on the MRSC Small Works roster. Got and said, you know, I'm sorry, this is late. I need a response right away. I got three responses back within 48 hours, and they were all very complete responses, and they were all very similar in price. And interestingly, the lowest price bid was the archaeologist that had been on site for the water treatment plant, and Joe's been really happy with their work. So. I talked to them, and we whipped up a quick professional service agreement, and we will be coordinating, I don't know if I will, get ASM and Valdez Construction to coordinate so that they can have their archaeologist on site at the appropriate day that the bioswale is being dug. That's pretty much it. Oh. Anybody have any questions?
One question. Is this a motion? It's a motion on our agenda, but it's not a motion.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, then I'd like to make a motion authorizing the mayor to sign a professional service agreement in the amount of $1,500 for archaeological services for the community green project.
Second. Okay. Any discussion?
Just a question, Mayor. Did Grant Lead or anyone in his office look at this?
This is Grant Lead's template. So we have lots of grants templates for professional services, for public works projects. We have three templates for that, depending on what the level of it is. And
$1,500 is pretty low.
I know.
Yeah.
I know, but we still had to use the professional services agreement. And I just want to point out to the council, it's in the scope of work, but I want to make sure that you understand that this is $1,500 with nothing being discovered. There are changes if anything of significance is found during that one little dig.
Yeah.
So.
Just curious, on bidding something out, do you have a level, or does the town have a level that you don't have to bid it out?
You know,
that's not very much money.
I know it isn't. It's almost more, this, on the Community Green project, on the FEMA project.
Well, that makes sense.
We're bidding it out. We're going above and beyond because we're dealing with FEMA money, or we're dealing with Island County grant money, and also lots and lots of rules about public works projects that you don't have for maybe every other kind of project that you're doing, or regular maintenance on something or repair of something. If it's a public work project, it's defined by that rather than the amount of money.
I know that the county has some higher limits than this.
We have talked about this as a staff. Our limits are stricter, lower than the state requirements, and so we've talked about we at least need to bring our own. Those are policies.
We need to get to
town policies. So we need to at least bring those up to the state levels.
Yeah,
because they've been these same lower levels for a lot of years.
Yeah.
Okay. So it is what it is. Got it done in a week. So not too much work. Already have a motion on this? Okay. So it's been moved and seconded to authorize the mayor to sign the professional service agreement with ASM affiliates for $1,500 for archaeological services for the Community Green project. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Passed unanimously. Thank you. Okay, the next item on our agenda is Resolution 1906. And when I came in today, I gave you a new handout for this item. And it's, so when I was getting the packets ready last Friday, the first draft of the ordinance had been written, but it hadn't been run by Grant's office yet. That was what was included in the packet. So what I handed out tonight is the resolution that Grant has signed off on. None of the content of this resolution has changed at all. He's changed some wording, and he also changed the motion. Because my original motion was actually incorrect, because the mayor does not approve a resolution. We adopt a resolution. So the motion on the paper I handed out tonight is a more correct motion, if anybody would choose to make that.
I move adoption of resolution 19-06. Amending the town of Cookeville personnel policy to include paid time off for full-time exempt employees at the conclusion of special projects.
I second.
Moved and seconded to adopt resolution 1906. Now, we discussed this in concept at the last council meeting. I know that Rick and Jackie were not at that meeting, so this is a new policy that will only affect full-time exempt employees, so basically the department managers, and it is a new benefit that only would apply to extraordinary special projects above and beyond job descriptions and responsibilities. Does anybody have any questions on this resolution?
No. I have questions, but I've been able to answer them. I'm comfortable with this.
Okay.
Especially with like projects like what Joe's working on.
Exactly.
Just, you know, answers the question.
And we
Kelly's
will be...
project to doing all archives and having to, you know, come up with thousands of copies for people. And, you know, there's so many different things that people can't.
Yeah, but that's within her job description. So I want to be really clear. Our department managers work super hard, work crazy hours, wear a lot of hats, have a lot of responsibilities, but they, you know, a lot of things are within their regular job description. So this would be used infrequently and carefully, because we have to be careful that this is like let me give you an example. It's not something that will be done after the fact, like as an afterthought. If someone's being assigned an extraordinary special project, this will be put into place either while that assignment is going on or as the project develops, because it's turning into a bigger deal. Because as a municipality, we can't do bonuses after the fact. We can't considered a gift of public funds. So these are kind of things that have to be defined before the project is complete. So those are the kinds of things we'll be careful of when using this. Okay?
And then, you know, it's not something that we would hire a consultant for. This is something that our staff or our people would be doing. It's a separate, totally separate thing. I mean, if somebody, like for example, Joe's project that he's working on, yeah. What if he had to hire somebody to do some of the work for him because he couldn't get his job to, you know, both two places? So we would hire, I don't know the correct term, a consultant or somebody to fill in.
A contractor.
Yeah, contractor employee. So that's separate.
Oh, yeah, no.
They're not.
I just want to make sure that.
Yeah, yeah.
And in that case, somebody might not get this special
right,
thing.
Right.
Okay. I just want to make sure everybody's.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you're good?
Yes.
Okay. Any other questions?
Nope.
Anybody else? Okay, it's been moved and seconded to adopt resolution 1906 amending the town of Cookeville's personnel policies to include paid time off for full-time exempt employees at the conclusion of special projects. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Passed unanimously. Thank you. Okay, so this month had staff reports. I think it had staff reports from this month. We're having a hard time getting them from everybody except for Joe, but Joe kind of gave you a staff report in person tonight. And I'm glad he talked about the other things that the rest of his crew is working on also. Does any of the council have any questions about any of the other staff reports? It is an exceptionally busy time. Mowing season has started. So the water project, the community green project, Kelly's crew is back onto trying to complete the remodel of the restroom in Town Park. Lots of building permits being processed by Renee. Owen's got just, all kinds of stuff going over his desk. He's almost at the conclusion of the short-term rental moratorium will be brought to the council soon. Yeah.
So where are we on the lease, that Marshall automobiles?
You guys approved the design and the type of vehicle and everything. So that order was placed with Island County's motor pool order. But only one of our vehicles was up for replacement. So I think Leif's vehicle will be the first one. He will get one this year, but he's probably not going to receive it till the fall.
Okay, I was just curious.
You know, it's a long lead time on these.
I know Kelly's waited years for her.
And she's still waiting, yeah. So yeah, I think Sean told me that Leif would get one this year, hopefully by in the fall or by the end of the year, and he would get one, Sean will get one in 2020 on that year's order.
Yeah, well, it's good that we'll have something with all-wheel drive or something to get around weather conditions.
Okay, any other questions on staff reports? I cannot tell you how hard everybody's working. Okay, second opportunity for audience input. We still don't have any audience. So, guys, we're adjourned. Thank you for being here.